is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. How wonderful to be with you today. We're going to continue our series. This will be part two of the mystery of the 153 fish. Oh, I'll tell you, boy, Jesus really caught a bonus. I don't know what you call them, a group or a crop or what, a fish. A mess of fish, we call them down here in Texas. But, boy, he caught them 153. Actually, he didn't do it personally. Although, we've got to give him credit for everything, don't we? But he told his disciples exactly where to fish, where to put in their net, go in their fish over there. And you know what? They've caught 153 fish. An exciting tale, but listen, it's more than a tale. There is prophetic significance packed into this number. You know, God created the world, I believe, through numbers. The Bible says that through the spoken word he created the earth, but I believe somehow mathematically through his words he was able to invent our entire universe. I really do. I think everything has been created by numbers. Now, don't ask me to get too detailed in that. I just proved that I'm not that smart. But, you know, some years ago in my lifetime, I believe it began in the 1960s, scientists Watson and Crick over in Great Britain began to unravel the secrets of DNA. And they said that everything in the universe, including human beings' bodies, our cells and such, are all somehow made up of these little DNA units, and, you know, it's little strips or ribbons of material, you know, naked to the human eye. They're so small, or smaller than the human eye, invisible, I should have said. But everything is made up, and they're all in numerical sequences. If you could map out the DNA, the genetic code, the genome of the human body, you eventually could discover how to prevent or stop diseases. You could even create new human beings, or maybe even new creatures, genetically, if you knew the genetic code. Wow. With computers and with this numerical coding of the DNA, miracles can be accomplished. Well, of course, miracles have already been accomplished. If the scientists are correct, and now, of course, we've gone a long way in the last 40 years or so since Watson and Crick, we've gone a long way with DNA and genetic coding and so forth. And it is said that everything in the universe does have this DNA code. Everything is made up of mathematical codes. Some people even say the Bible is mathematical. Every word, everything in the Bible is placed there exactly as it's supposed to be. That's why the new versions of the Bible, they say, don't make any sense. They're not done by God. So the words are out of sequence. In fact, some of the words are wrong, quite a few of them, as you know. Isn't that an astonishing thing? That means maybe we better dig into the Bible. There are numerical sequences in the Bible. And there are secret numbers in the Bible. Oh, yes. Oh my. Now, some people out there can say, oh, that Tex Mars, he's always trying to come up with something mysterious. Hey, folks, I didn't invent this. You're going to see in this series that Jesus himself told the disciples to count the number of the fish. And they did, and they said there's exactly 153 fish that were brought up in this net. Now, they all could see there was a lot of fish there. I've never heard of a fisherman counting his fish, except maybe me. When I go fish, I catch so few that it sounds big to say I caught five or four or three. I mean, you know, wow, I caught three today. I'm bragging about it. And then I see the guy over there next to me, he's got about 12 hanging on a string. I go, oh, well, never mind. Well, you see, but a professional fisherman that takes his boat out on the sea and uses a big net, he doesn't usually count them. Sometimes they weigh them. We got so many pounds today. But I've never seen them just counting the fish. Have you? Can you imagine on a fishing vessel? And they bring the fish in and the big boss man says, count the fish. They'd probably say, you're crazy. What does it matter? We know we got a lot. We know we got probably so many pounds or whatever, but to count them? You know, give or take or a few. But that wasn't good enough to Jesus. He didn't want them to say, oh, about 100, Lord. Oh, about 200. He said, count them. And they said, they're exactly 153. Oh, God is so exact, isn't he? The Bible says he's got every number, hair on your head numbered. What does it matter if I run a comb through my hair and lose 28 hairs this morning? Well, I guess, depending on your age, whether you're balding or not, it could matter a little bit. But generally, if you're a young, vibrant person, it wouldn't matter at all. You lose 28 hairs, you'll get them back. Who counts the hairs you lose when you go to the beauty salon or the barber shop? Well, God knows how many hairs are on your head. Must matter to him. Isn't that an astonishing thing? Well, numbers. Did you know that Jesus even told us to count the number of the beast? The evil personality who is to come forth and become dictator of this planet. We're commanded to count his number. Wow. Why do I want to do something like that? Because Jesus told me to. Count the number of the beast. Evidently, there is meaning. Evidently, we can discover certain secrets and mysteries by doing what Jesus said. What if his disciples said, Lord, I'm not going to waste my time. You're just cool it. Chill out. That's what they say nowadays. Chill out. What does it matter how many fish exactly we've caught? You know, when Jesus tells you to do something, it would be very wise for you to do it, my friends. Remember, in the first miracle he performed, his mother said, we run out of wine, you know, help us out. Seems like, you know, an easy miracle to do, and it was. In fact, Jesus made wine out of water, and it was better than all the other wine they had there at the wedding. Dinner. It was better than that made by the humans who went out in the fields and gathered the grapes. When he just made wine out of water, they said, man, you saved the best for last. He can do more with nothing than you can do with a lot of, friends. That tells you you need God's help, doesn't it? Now, how did he go about making that wine? He said, well, bring me some water, jugs of water. And his mother turned to the servants and said, do exactly as he says. Whatever he, that is Jesus, says do, you do it. And they did it. And he made water turn into wine. Do as Jesus says, said Mary. You know, I think by that time she knew that it was a very wise thing to do to obey her son. She worshiped her own son. Because she knew who he was. And she said her heart was just magnified the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, it must be important. These 153 fish. Oh, I love this story. And so we're going to talk about the 153 fish. It's in the Bible. There is a great mystery there. And it matters. Yes, it does matter. I'm going to tell you right now. If you, now listen to me, if you are not one of those 153 fish, you're in deep, deep trouble. Man. So think of that. Ah, there's a mystery for you. But right now we have a beautiful song by Bob Kane, Why Me, Lord? I saw this performed on TV. You know, this is an old Kris Kristofferson song. And I always wondered about Kris Kristofferson. He was never known for being a real devout and sincere Christian. But I wonder if he didn't really or doesn't know the truth. We need to pray for people like Kris Kristofferson. Sometimes in their songs and in their lives, you see a little bit of Jesus coming out. Maybe this is one of those cases where Kris Kristofferson knew he was blessed by the Lord in terms of physical prosperity. But he asked the question, what can I do now? What can I do now? That's a good question. What can I do to repay you, Lord? How many of us do that? How many of us turn around and say, Lord Jesus, thank you? We need your support, and I like to have your encouragement and, of course, your prayer needs. Send them to us because we do want to pray for you. We really do. It's an honor and a privilege to pray for the saints. Now here's Bob Kane during one of the Gaither gatherings, and then we'll have part two of The Mystery of the 153 Fish. I'm Tex Mars, your pastor here at Bible Home Church.
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown?
they can give you verses. They might even give you a little historical background. And they think that they're such big know-it-alls. Let me tell you something, friend. When I want to understand the Bible, I don't go to those idiots. I go. Yes, I go to sometimes to men and women who don't even have a high school education, but God has instructed them on what the Bible means. Those are my friends in the Word of God. I've got college degrees and all kinds of academic accolades, and none of it has helped me to understand the Bible. But when I ask God to instruct me, things begin to happen. My mind begins to multiply with rapidity, and suddenly I get smarter. Which tells me that God's wisdom is acting in my brain. Now, listen, I don't want to go. That deserves also a whole another hour to talk about how God works to reveal things to us. But let's, if you will, get out your Bible. John chapter 21. God has revealed some things to me. I must tell you today. I don't have any other recourse. But you're going to be glad I did. You're going to feel good. This is good news I've got for you today. This mystery that God has revealed. I'm not saying I'm the only one in the world that knows this. I've never heard it preached before in exactly this way. But this is a big world, and God has many disciples out there. And maybe there are. Maybe you say, oh, that's nothing new to me. Well, wonderful. It was new to me, but not you, all right. But I believe you'll be blessed. There's going to be something in this message today, this mysterious message. I start with John chapter 21. Here we have where Jesus was resurrected. And you know what? He came back and showed himself to the disciples. Remember, he came back the second time and showed himself, I believe it was, to doubting Thomas. Thomas had to feel, the scar of the wound, say, yes, you are Christ Jesus. He was the doubter. Well, here is an occasion in John 21 where Jesus appeared to his disciples for the third time. Now pay attention to all the numbers, because this is going to be a message about the secrecy of numbers. Numbers. More on that, but listen to this. We began by reading, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. Here's how it happened, John is saying. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. I'm going fishing, he said. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Peter says, I'm going fishing. See, they hadn't started their ministry yet. Pentecost had not occurred. They knew Jesus was resurrected. That was a great miracle. But they didn't know what to do yet. Here we're going to see a great miracle and a message to God, to the disciples, and to you and me today. It is a last days, end times message. You're going to hear today. It affects your fate, your family's fate, your destiny of what's going to happen to you in these last days. They went into their fishing boat. They were fishermen, after all. There were seven of them in all. Seven disciples. Remember the number seven? The God's perfect number? The number of God? Seven? There were just seven of them. And they fished all night. They didn't catch a thing. Verse 4 says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Friends, when the glorious morning comes, there will be Jesus on the shore. You may not have been successful in life. You may consider yourself a failure. You may not have the riches of your neighbors or the great men of earth. You may not be what they consider an important person, a celebrity. But Someday the morning will come and Jesus will show himself. He will arrive. There he stood on the shore. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. Children, he called them. Children. They were his children. He recognized them. They didn't recognize him. Do you understand that, my friends? He knows you. Sometimes we don't have a proper understanding and recognition of God, but don't think he doesn't know you. He said, have you got any food? Have you got any meat? They said, no. They've been fishing all night. Hadn't caught a thing. Have you ever felt like that? Now, that's usually what happens to me. I go fishing. I've taken my grandsons fishing. I'm not a very good fisherman. I just never catch anything. Well, it is a little relaxing. It's always relaxing when there's no activity going on. You're just sitting there throwing your old line in, never catching anything. I just don't seem to have much good luck. These men weren't having much good luck and fortune either. Ah, that's when God comes in. Fortune and luck is thrown out the window with God, friends. Then destiny comes. That's not good luck. That's not serendipity. That is prescribed. Every man who is of God has the future already mapped out. And here was Jesus, right on time as he should have been, perfectly in order. He stands on the shore. Have you got any food? They said, no. Basically, they said, we've been a big failure. Hey, we're always a failure without God. If I didn't have God, this ministry would flop tomorrow. Well, I don't think it'll last till tomorrow. They said no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Jesus said to them, cast your net on the right side of the ship. Notice he didn't say the left side. I think that's significant. The right side. I guess Jesus was a right winger. Was he? He certainly was not a left winger. Well, there's more to that, I think, than meets the eye, but we'll just go on. They did what he said. Maybe they were just so desperate, or maybe they thought, well, I don't know if this guy seems pretty authoritarian or authoritative. He must know what he's talking about. He just shows up on the shore. He calls us children. They didn't even recognize him as Jesus. But they went ahead and did what he said to do. They cast their nets on the right side. And guess what? Their net suddenly became packed with fish. Wow. Okay, let's go on. Let's go on to verse 8. It says that they then went to shore because their net was full of fishes. That's verse 8. Verse 9 says, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Oh my. They pulled the net to shore. It was full of fish. Jesus said, bring the fish to the shore. And Simon Peter was just pulling away. And then the net came to shore. Not a fish was lost, but it was full of great fishes. These weren't weak fishes. These weren't diseased fishes. These appeared evidently to be healthy, wonderful fishes. Perfect fishes. Great fishes. And it's interesting that they were numbered. There were exactly 153 fishes. How could that be? 153. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dareth ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. They knew then that it was the Lord. It was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time, verse 14 says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. The third time this miracle occurred, the miracle of the net full of fish, not a one was lost, 153, and they were wonderful fish. And Jesus says, come and eat. Come and dine. Isn't it interesting? You know, in the act of communion, Jesus beckons us, come, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. You may say that is symbolic, but think of it. Here he says, come and eat. And there are 153 fish. What is the meaning of this mysterious verse, these passages? What does it mean to have 153 fish? Is there some significance in the number of 153 fish? Now I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 47. We're going to see the significance, the incredible significance. Friends, I want to listen to me right now. I'm going to prove to you, you are one of the 153 fish. You say, what? That's right. You, if you know Jesus Christ, if you've been saved, called, saved by him, you're one of the fish caught in the net.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.